Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A capable wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes him linen garments. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchant with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Mother God, your word is our wisdom. It gives us insight, strength, and courage. Open our hearts and minds on this day that we might receive what you want to give. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. Amen. Every so often, I get a little curious and I look around help wanted pages like Indeed or just LinkedIn or some of those other places that have help wanted ads, just to you sort of see what's out there, maybe kind of affirm this calling, see what I'm missing out on? I don't know. I came across a really interesting job posting a while back, and it really stood out to me quite a bit. And the job title was Director of Operations. So basically, this is a position for a chief operating officer or CFO. They have a direct relationship to the associates, and those associates require just a lot of attention. So this is a pretty detailed help wanted ad. So this position requires a lot of stamina and mobility. There's standing and bending and lifting for most of the time that you're working. Multitasking is imperative because this is a really chaotic environment. And that's because the associates can be a little unpredictable, sometimes volatile. So it requires some strong communication, negotiation, conflict management, interpersonal skills. Those things are imperative. They listed something about degrees in medicine, personal finance, culinary arts or nutrition, engineering, education, psychology, information technology, interior design, event planning, and administration. Those types of degrees are preferable, but really, there's no experience necessary. Then they get into the hours. The position requires the applicant to be on duty about 135 hours a week. There are no vacation days, very few breaks, and you must be available to the associates at the drop of a hat 365 days a year, and once you sign on, this is a lifetime commitment. Holidays? Yes, there are holidays, but you will actually be working twice as hard on days like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, and you must have a happy disposition while you're doing that. They say that there isn't really a possibility of advancement in this position, but I know some people who have had this position, and they feel that they have had some advancement. I don't know. But regardless, even though there isn't technically advancement, the applicant is expected to regularly update their skills, engage in continuing education. There's no benefits. There's no health, dental, 401k, pension, no tuition reimbursement, no stock options. You won't get a whole lot of feedback, except for the feedback and the constant judgment that you get from family, friends, and society at large. The last, most up-to-date salary information that I could find for this position was from 2019, and that at that time, this a position was like this was valued at about $178,000 a year, but this position does not have a salary. However, if it's done well, the applicant will receive meaningful connections, joy in helping the associates, limitless supplies of hugs, and personal growth. I'm hoping that you have guessed by now that this is the job description for a mother. And I want to be really careful here. Mother's Day is difficult for so many people. People who've had abusive parents or estranged from their children, mothers who've experienced miscarriages or have had to bury their children, people who have lost their moms, especially if that loss has been recent, women who have tried everything imaginable to become a mom, and women who have done everything imaginable to avoid being a mother. So this is a day that can be fraught with a lot of emotion, and it's not all positive. But you must admit that job description is certainly what we have come to expect of moms. And by extension, all women. There are some pastors who will get in front of their congregations today because it's Mother's Day and use Proverbs 31 to just sentimentalize women and preach about how we should just thank God and these women for all that they do. And we should. But from the other side of their mouth, some of these churches also actively fight against women in the pulpit and in church governance, or even public places of power. And may heaven help you if you reject any of those traditional roles of wife, mother, and subservient member of the community, or even mention the thought of equal rights. And this passage has often been used to tell women that in order to feel good about herself and to live up to God's expectations, she must constantly strive for overachievement and perfection. To avoid judgment, she must be industrious, a respected household manager, a wonderful mother, a supportive wife, accomplished artisan, successful business person, a wise teacher, a prudent planner, and a tireless worker. Sounds exhausting. When I read through Proverbs 31, I am exhausted. All of those things, that is what a woman is supposed to do. All of those things? It sounds a lot like our culture. You know, our culture just pressures us again and again to overfunction. And women have been taking on more and more roles and responsibilities, feeling like they're not doing enough, because honestly, this job description is unattainable. Maybe there are some people out there who think it's uplifting, but it often serves to demoralize many women who think they have to be everything to everyone in order to be a faithful witness to God. And I think that this passage has been greatly misinterpreted and misused. I'm not saying that we should throw it out. We definitely should not throw it out. It belongs in here. But there is not a single person, woman or man, who has all of these admirable traits, characteristics, and accomplishments. This passage isn't about a singular woman, or even about women at all. Rather, it's describing the anthropological attributes of wisdom, of woman wisdom. This is the embodiment of wisdom. There are a few clues in here that tell us why this is so. First, this is another one of those Hebrew acrostic poems. So each line begins with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph to Tau. Aleph to Tau, other way. When we see those types of acrostic poems, we're supposed to understand that the contents are about comprehensiveness. It's a descriptor of completeness. And they're not usually about human beings. Mm-hmm. Secondly, these attributes match up with other Hebrew poems that are about personified wisdom. The woman described here is not a mere mortal. And also, wisdom isn't just about obtaining knowledge and enlightenment. Rather, wisdom is about a life well lived, a life disciplined by daily decisions, a lifetime of obedience to God. These values of wisdom that are embedded within the scripture, these sustain our lives, our minds, our bodies, and our souls. And it speaks to the patterns of life that include things like trust and integrity in our relationships, sacrifice, providing for our children, opening our hands to the poor, and doing whatever needs to be done. And while doing all of these things, we should have a sense of humor with it, because really, what's the alternative? And I hope you can see these patterns of life within Glenshaw Valley. Yes, among the men here today too, but especially among the women who sustain this congregation and the wider church. As I pondered this text and I think about it, it really makes me reflect on the women of faith across my spiritual journey. And I invite you to think about those women who have introduced you to God. Ladies, you do not have to be a biological mother to guide someone else's spiritual journey. There are many women who give shape to and form the lives of others through conversations, teaching, and reflecting with people. I am constantly in awe of and inspired by the capable women I've met throughout my life. including right here at Glenshaw Valley. So many women have guided me and shaped me and rooted for me, shown me what's possible. And that's the point. That's the point here. There is no single person, woman or man, who embodies all of these attributes of wisdom. It takes a multitude of people to exemplify the wisdom that has been bestowed by God. Thanks be to God. Amen.